Would you just join me in a word of prayer? Lord God, I just pray that as I bring forth this message, that it would be encouraging to us, that you have put us in such a time as this to be that light on a hill, to share hope to a world that sometimes feels that things are hopeless. And I pray that you would use the words that you have given me for this message to encourage the people of our congregation and also to honor you in every way. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, my friends, this is a tough sermon to deliver. It really is, because, you know, it's my last sermon as your pastor, and I've so enjoyed filling this pulpit every week and sharing with you what God has laid on my heart, to that I felt that God was telling me that we needed to hear as a congregation. But I can tell you that this has been an incredible journey for my wife and I these past 6 years. I don't know where they went, but it seems like we just got here yesterday. And that's good news, because I do have pastor friends who say they've been in their churches and they feel like they've been there for eternity. But that's not been the case here. And so it means change, doesn't it? It's part of life. It means change for you as a congregation. You'll welcome Pastor Debbie and her husband John as the new pastor of the church, and her husband. And it means changes for us, not just going to Alaska, but kind of figuring out what we're going to do the rest of our lives. We're going to take it slow, but I'm sure we're going to plug in somewhere to volunteer and do some of God's work that he's called us. And each of us, I've always told you for 6 years that you also are ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's not just the pastor. It's all of us together. And we've been called to that priesthood, if you will. But change in life is inevitable. My wife and I were at a funeral a couple of weeks ago. A friend of ours, his father passed away, and I was asked if I would go to the city and give the eulogy, and I agreed to do that with great honor. And the pastor who was preaching in Korean, and it was translated by a younger Korean pastor who was bilingual. And basically his message was about change. And he was talking about how my friend's dad had changed so many different things in his life over the years. He had changed jobs and vocations and locations. He moved all the way from Korea to the United States, and he lived in Minneapolis. Then he moved to another city, and he wound up on Long Island, and he started a business. And he went through this whole litany of changes. And of course, the theme of his message was that in this particular case, my friend's father made a final change when he transitioned from this life to the next. Now, I could tell you that my wife and I, over the years we've been married, we have moved 13 times. That's why we're not moving anymore. Packing boxes and off. No, we ain't going there. But some people, even in this church, have lived in the same house for your whole life, which I find amazing. Parents pass away and you take over the home and you continue to grow your own family in that home. And I think it's wonderful, but there are some people that stay in the same home without changing ever. And it's amazing to me. But we've had to make some changes in our lives over the years, as I'm sure many of you have, in many different ways. Changing vocations. You know, when I was a kid, I loved sports. If somebody started with a team like the Red Sox or the Yankees or whatever, those players stayed with that team their entire career. But today, you know, through arbitration, they wind up jumping teams. And, you know, you can't blame them in a way, seeking a higher salary, better benefits, perhaps more playing time. And I know young corporate people now. You know, years ago, if you worked for a company, you stayed until you got the gold watch. And today, you know, people use networks and all kinds of ways to possibly leave one company to go to another company because the benefits are better and there are more opportunities there for advancement. I get that. And so we're living in a society where change is the norm. But I will say it might be the norm, but it's never easy. I don't know about you, I don't like change, but I know that it's inevitable, and it happens to all of us. And you know, even if you look at biblical times or historical times, the church, not necessarily this church, but the church has been all about change since those 120 met on that day of Pentecost over 2,000 years in Jerusalem. The church has transitioned and it's evolved, and here we are in Patchogue over 2,000 years later. Now, like I said, I don't necessarily like it, but I know that it's inevitable. Now, I will tell you something, that this church, and I proudly say this, this church has stayed as a light on a hill, shining on a hill, since 1791. And I'm always proud to say this, that this church started when George Washington was the president. Now, that puts things in context, doesn't it? I mean, G.W., not Bush, but George Washington was the president when this church started in this community of Patchogue. And that's quite amazing. It's an incredible legacy that you live out, friends. And I'm proud of it. And I want to say this from the bottom of my heart on behalf of my wife and I. We're proud of you. The leadership of this church has been so dynamic. And I'm talking about every facet of it, how much you have worked, whether it's ushering or singing in the choir or a committee head or a committee member or working up in the sound, I call it the crow's nest up there. But whatever you did for this church, whatever ministry that you worked in, because of you, this ministry worked. And because of you, we have a witness in this community all these years since 1791. We stand on the shoulders of those who have gone on before us. And that's so important. And I applaud you for who you are. You know, over the 6 years that my wife and I have been in this church, I've stood amazed how this church has navigated through so many challenges. For one example, this church was really suffering with water damage. The roof needed work. The walls were in trouble. The wall back there, if you touched it, it moved in and out. Our DS said, you got to do something about this right away because it might fall on the congregation. And so we started this campaign called SOS, and so many of you were so active and involved in that to raise the funds so that we could stop the bleeding and bring this church to a place of at least stability. Because don't forget, this old gal is over 130 years old. I wish I looked this good at 130. But stop the water damage. At least we stopped that, did a lot of work. The trustees worked very hard. The fundraising was amazing. And I remember when I first got here, you remember our boiler froze up? A brand new boiler. And we had a Christmas Eve service with heaters all over the sanctuary. You were choking on the smell of kerosene. I mean, but we had the service and we managed to get through it. And generous people came forward and we were able to put a new boiler in. And Sweezy's did it for cost only, because we were a church. So I think about those things. And what about COVID? Not only did our community and our church get hit with it, but it was a global pandemic. And we still found ways to serve and minister in the midst of that chaos. that we were going through during that terrible time. And there's so many other experiences that I've so enjoyed. And I also want to thank you all for allowing my wife and I to be ourselves. Because I don't take myself serious. And sometimes people think that's lackadaisical. And it's not. I come to church to have fun. Amen. While I worship God. Okay? So I don't want to stand up here looking like a raccoon sucking on a lemon. Okay? So that's just the way it is. It's just the way it is. I even got an amen from the pooch back there. But you know, one of the things I realized early on in my ministry, and hopefully the people that are here from churches I've served also realized it, I always felt I was in ministry with you. That I wasn't the exalted ruler of the church. And you guys took that personality on so well with my wife and I, because she's funny even when she doesn't try to be funny. And everybody, you know, everybody loves Raymond. Well, everybody loves Myung Cha. Amen. And it's so true. This church is moving on with great expectation of what God's going to do in the future. And I have to tell you, my wife and I respect you, we honor you, and we applaud you for who you are, because indeed you're very special. Now, I've said this many times in my sermons, that the church is not a building. As beautiful as this building is, this isn't the church. Without you guys, it's just a building, a historical building with beautiful windows. But if it was empty, it could be an art gallery. But because of who's met here over 130 years, we have made this the church. It's the people that gather here, the beautiful, God-loving people who gathered here. Now, one of our confirmands, I don't see her today, Sasha, she said to me during confirmation, she says, "Pastor Chuck, we are the church." And I said, "Sasha, that will preach." And you're right. The people are the church. From all walks of life, from every race, from every nation who love the Lord, and who are committed to serving Him. And we have people in this church from all over the place. We've got people from the Caribbean, Puerto Rico. We have Latin Americans. We have people from Korea and Africa. And we have somebody from a foreign land, the Bronx. Ed has to, when he comes to Long Island, he has to have a visa and a passport. But we make up the beautiful body of Jesus Christ. No matter what our walk of life is, no matter where we came from, no matter the color of our skin, it doesn't matter. We are one in Jesus Christ. We're brothers and sisters in Christ. And that makes us very special indeed. And so the Apostle Paul was a man who God used to build churches. To build churches. Oh, I forgot, Italy too. Who build churches, not as an architect or a contractor, but with God's help, Paul was all about building people who became the church. You get the difference? You could build a huge church, and it could be the most modern church in the world, and you could have the most fantastic, unbelievable ministries going on there, but it's really about building people up so that they could do the works of the ministry. And I've seen you folks embrace that. So our passage taken from Ephesians this morning reminds us of Paul's history in the church in Ephesus. And I want to tell you something. I've been to Ephesus, my wife and I. It's a remarkable place in Turkey. Paul stayed there almost 3 years, which was so unusual for Paul, because Paul would establish something and move on. But he stayed there the longest, almost 3 years. And I want to tell you, the fact that he stayed in that community for such a long period of time, I guarantee you he fell in love with those Ephesians. He had a special bond with them. In fact, in Acts chapter 20, it records how he met with his leaders for the last time. He was about to leave them and go off to Jerusalem. And there was great sadness because he had been with them for 3 years. And he knew it was time to move on. But he had left that church in good hands. The strong laity he left behind, they graciously let him go. They let the Apostle Paul leave. And as they took the reins and built upon what they were entrusted with, so Paul departed for Jerusalem, and he encouraged the leadership of that church, continue feeding the flock and continue reaching out into your community of Ephesus, which was a very pagan city. Don't give up the mission of the church, even though it could be discouraging. And I am absolutely convinced that we have some of the greatest leaders in this particular church. And that Pastor Debbie, my successor, will bring many new gifts that I don't have to this ministry and this church going forward. And I'd like to say this to you, friends. Your best days are ahead. Your best days are ahead. It says in Acts chapter 20, when Paul finished speaking, he knelt down with them and they prayed together and they wept together. And there's a part of me and my wife right now that's weeping. You know, I shut these down. I said, okay, you better stay cool today. But there's weeping going on inside of us, knowing that this is it. And so according to our epistle reading this morning, he never stopped thanking God for the church in Ephesus. And my wife and I will never stop thanking God for the church in Patroc. Paul says that he prayed that their hearts are flooded with the light of Christ and that they would see a great future that God has called them to share with others. And you'll do that because you've been doing it. And you'll continue to do it. And this is my prayer, and it has been, that when people walk through those back doors, they feel welcomed here. And I think they have. And they're loved here, and they're accepted here. And they're embraced here. And they know immediately that they could be part of this fellowship. And I think you'll continue doing that, because you have been since 1791. I don't think George Washington came here, but he may have. I don't know. And that the power within them through the Holy Spirit, Paul says, would strengthen and assist them to carry on. Listen, friends, you can't do this ministry without the Holy Spirit. If you don't have the Holy Spirit, then you're just doing it in the flesh. But if you've got the Holy Spirit, then you could do anything, all things, through Christ Jesus, who strengthens you and strengthens me. And so, my friends, you've been doing a good job for 231 years. And Paul was saying, Ephesus, you're a mighty witness for Christ in your community. Patroc, you're a mighty witness for Christ in this community. Paul said, Ephesus, though I leave you, God is going to do a mighty work in and through you. And though we leave you, God will continue to do that good work. Ephesus, don't be discouraged, for you belong to Christ, and he is your way to peace. And I say the same to you. Now our bishop, Bishop Bickerton, he regularly tells the clergy, if we're going to continue and live out as a conference, you've got to go and make disciples of Jesus Christ. That's the main mission of the church, by the way. I don't care how good our coffee hours are. The mission of the church is to go and make disciples of Jesus. That's the essence of the Great Commission that Barbara read from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 28. That's the purpose of the church. And that's what Paul kept telling them. Don't forget your main mission. Have great fellowship. Do the work of the church, the administration, the caring for the facility. All that is important. But never forget what your number one priority is: reaching people for Jesus Christ. You know, when I first met Staff Parish Relations Committee, some of you are here. I'm looking at George. And We met in the choir room, and that was over 6 years ago. And I forget who asked me, but somebody said to me, "Pastor, why do you consider yourself an evangelical?" Because sometimes evangelical sounds like, oh, we're getting a crazy pastor. Yeah, we're getting one of those holy roller pastors. And to be an evangelical means to spread the good news of Jesus, that's all. And to tell people what Jesus did for you and what he did for me. And I could tell you something. You can't have good news unless you got bad news. You see, my friends, I know where Jesus brought me from. I don't try to pretend up here that I was born in the seventh heavens and a dove fell upon me one day and said, "Chuck Ferrara, you are the anointed one." Now, that wasn't the case with me. And I want to tell you, I know where he brought me from, and though I know that he's not done with me yet, but as I look back, man, he brought me a long way. And I know he's done that for many of you. And because of that, I just have to tell somebody what Jesus did for me. He changed me. Now, I know Myungcha says, "Lord, change him a little more." But I've come a long way from where he found me. He transformed my life. He radically changed my heart. And that's my testimony. No one could take that testimony away from me. Nobody. Nobody could discount it or argue with it because it's my testimony. Just like your testimony is yours. And what I love about the Great Commission is that Jesus said he would do that for anyone who surrendered to him. And I remember the day I surrendered to him in a storefront church in the Bronx. I didn't have a passport, Ed, but I surrendered my life to Jesus. And it's been a good run ever since. Jesus said that he would be with us always. That is what kept the church going for 2,000 years. And frankly, that's what kept me going since I gave my life to Jesus in that little church in the Bronx back in 1979. Friends, remember that Jesus said he would never leave us nor forsake us. That he would be with us. Not just for 6 years, but forever. You know, one of the first things I did when I arrived at this church 6 years ago, and I've done it in every church I've served, going back to the first church I served in Glen Cove. It always said the head of the church is the Reverend Dr. Charles Farr. No, the head of the church is Jesus Christ. And if you look in your bulletin, the first thing I did when I got here, I said, put in there, overseer, Jesus Christ. Because he's the head of this church, not Chuck Ferrara. I'm just a servant like you. Yes, I am your pastor, and I know I'm your leader, and I don't discount that. But the ultimate leader, we must never forget, is Jesus. Who would have known but God that my wife and I would be leaving this church 6 years after we arrived? And for quite some time, Paul must have said the same thing when he was thinking about leaving Ephesus. When he was approaching that 3-year mark. I can't believe I'm leaving. But you know what? God's ways are not our ways. They're not. God's plans are not our plans. God's timing is not always our timing. It's God's timing, and we knew it was right, even though it would be hard. And what's important, however, is that our time together as family wasn't wasted. That we didn't waste our time together. You know that my wife's not going to ride out of here and say, "Boy, I'm glad to get rid of those people." And you guys aren't going to say, "Boy, I'm glad that windbag's gone." But that we had good fellowship together. Amen. We enjoyed each other. We loved each other. It was productive. It was joyous. It was caring. It was fruitful. It was a faith-growing experience. My faith, my wife's faith, has grown because of you as a church. You've encouraged us all the time. This isn't the end of something old. It's the beginning of something new for all of us. What we need to remember is to be of good courage. I told Pastor Debbie, you're getting good people who are going to love you. You're getting a good administrative assistant. I just saw you, Camille, and your husband. You're getting good leaders. You're getting a good congregation. They will love the heck out of you. But you know what they're looking for? They want you to love them back. And she'll do that. I know she will. Be of good courage, church, to accept the challenge God gives us with anticipation and with great joy, even when we don't know what tomorrow brings. Let me tell you who does know. God knows. God knows what the future of this church is. I'm going to find out that every seat in this sanctuary is going to be filled a year from now. I'm going to find out that you guys are hooping and hollering, jumping in the pews, saying, praise the Lord. See, I always, even if Bob has to start it, you always get that dog to bark back there. But to remember that he's the source of our strength and peace, friends. That the relationship we've built over these 6 years is not for a season, but it's forever. And I'll share, you'll have to put up with me and Myungcha for eternity. You know that. But most importantly, wherever we go in this life, whatever changes we accept, Christ is always with us. And Jesus said to his disciples, my peace I leave with you. Well, my wife and I offer you the same blessing this morning. Myungcha and I say, peace be with you, friends. That you will always know the peace of God, the joy of the Lord, the hope that he offers, the love that he always shares, and the forgiveness that he's all about when we mess up. The God of the do-over. So Patchogue UMC, you have blessed this Methodist minister and his wife, for which we will remain eternally grateful to all of you. Thanks for the memories that we cherish and forever will take with us when we leave. We love you guys. We love you.